And hi, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Chiefs Live. Mitch Holtz is with you, along with the snapper, Kendall Gammon, 15-year NFL veteran. And in your 15 years and in my 19 years in this league, neither one of us have encountered what the Chiefs and all of us had to encounter this past weekend. And all of you know by now what happened. Javon Belcher taking the life of his girlfriend and then taking his own life here at the One Arrowhead Drive Complex in Kansas City, deciding to play against the Carolina Panthers and beating Carolina in the game 27-21. But let's just take it from the point of Saturday morning and what this team and this organization and the people here have had to endure.
You know, it was a surreal moment because you have so much stuff going on, and really it's unreal in the fact of you can't imagine these things happening. I mean, and you just tried to go on with your day as normal as you could, but that was, you know, really impossible.
And it continues. Of course, counselors on site here at One Arrowhead Drive to help the team and the people involved with the incident this past weekend, the subsequent results of that. We do have a special look back at the weekend and at Sunday's game, starting with the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network's pregame host, Art Haynes, put together by Will Blackwell. Just take a look as it captures very well the emotions of the weekend.
A tough day for all concerned, but there is a National Football League game to be played to try to get back to some sense of normalcy, but certainly with the pall of this tragic event over the entire day.
Play action fake. Brady Quinn throws it on the far side. It's caught by Dwayne Bowe on a curl pattern. He goes down at the 39 of Carolina. Play fake. Now they're throwing long on the left side. Wide open. It is caught by John Baldwin on the left boundary. Stretches out the football just short of a touchdown. Lead play right side to Hillis. And he plows on the right side. Touchdown, Kansas City. Cam Newton fakes the handoff in the pocket. Under pressure, Newton now takes off. He's going to get hit in the chops. Tyson Jackson, a loss of four on the play. Deep throw over the middle. The pass is going to be caught with an incredible catch. Dwayne Bowe, one of his best catches of the season. 14-10 Carolina, 2 seconds remaining in the half. Eyes set. Brady Quinn under center, fakes the handoff. Quinn holding it, firing it late. Over the middle, it's caught. Touchdown, Kansas City. Tony Moyaki and the Chiefs have the lead going to halftime. Back to throw is Quinn. He's got a man open. It's Moyaki at the 40 of Carolina. Lowers the shoulder, and Moyaki continues to be a weapon. 17-14, Kansas City, a slant pattern. It is caught. It is touchdown, Kansas City. John Baldwin with the catch. Newton out of the shotgun. He has a range on his left. Newton holding all kinds of time. Now he wants to run. He will go nowhere. In fact, he's sacked back at the 30. That's 10 sacks this season for Justin Houston. This will be a 52-yarder to tie his season long. Placement is down. Suck up. Plenty of leg. Plenty of leg is high, spinning, and it is good. And Kansas City, after unthinkable tragedy yesterday, this football team wins a game, Len Dawson. They had beaten the Carolina Panthers 27-21.
But you did something really good today. Really good. You overcame a lot. You stuck together as a team like we talked about. Helped each other, all right? Family and friends, you relied on those people, all right? You relied on your faith to help get you through this, all right? And we got through it, all right, in a grand way because everybody made a contribution. Everybody helped, okay? And that's what a team is about. That's what a team is about. You did a very nice job with that, all right? And the win was a really good win. Win was a good win.
I want to tell you guys how proud I am of everybody in this room. What you guys fought through in the last day and a half is unbelievable, and I'm just so proud of you. I'm so proud of the coaching staff for the job they did in leading you guys. And truthfully, every man in here deserves a game ball today. But we're a family, and so we're going to have one game ball. It's going to the entire team. And I'm going to give it to Coach Cornell to hang on for the team because he did a fantastic job.
Guys, like Clark said, this belongs to all of us, okay? And we'll hang it somewhere where we all can see it, all right? We'll try to get that done because we're all a part of it, all right? And without each other, we never would have been able to get it done, all right? So keep fighting for each other. Keep fighting for each other. All right, everybody's in here, all right? All right, Chiefs on three. One, two, three.
Chiefs!
Okay, wow. Thanks to our 65 TPT crew for putting that together.
That was fabulous.
And Kendall, that's something you you put in mid-May when you need just a little bit of a jolt. Again, the unspeakable tragedy throughout the weekend, but to see the sequence of events there on Sunday and these guys pulling this together. I want to get your comments. Last night at the Chiefs Kingdom, there were over 100 fans there. Romeo was on the show with us. He got a standing ovation. People went crazy. I don't think that we can applaud Romeo Crennel enough. This guy has been through, he's been in the league and coaching for 3 decades. But what he had to do Saturday morning in witnessing the suicide of his own player, less than an hour later, address his team and try to keep this team together, because the other victim in this was well known in that locker room, part of Jamaal Charles' family. Romeo Crennel showed phenomenal leadership.
Well, he did, and you know, he alluded to the fact of his military upbringing and just the poise that his dad showed, and while they'd never encountered this type of situation, it was something that led him. Guys, let's be honest. You cannot unsee what he saw and what they saw that day, and it is what it is. To go in an hour later to address the team like you did, to lead, you play a game in 36 hours, do what they did. You had respect for Romeo already. This is a great person. Throw out the football, throw out the record. Do you wish it was better? Yeah. But he's a good person, yeah. And he did some good things, and he stepped up and he led.
Well, let's get some reaction in the locker room after the game. Looking back at the game, but also that the sequence of events before it.
Our prayers go out to the family of Cassandra Perkins. They are grieving, and we send our condolences to that family. Our prayers and condolences go out to the family of Javon Belcher. They are also grieving. Our prayers and hopes go out to a 3-month-old Zoe, a little girl who will never get to know her mother and father. So we're grieving for all involved.
Coach Crennel talked to us, told what was going on. Guys kind of took it real hard. Guys are still taking it hard. Just right now, we're just able to get over it just because we played the game. But when we get home to our family, sit down here in a little bit, you're going to see what happens.
We're football players, you know. We love the game of football. And when something happens like this, what we're going to be doing is sitting around for 3 or 4 hours when we were supposed to be playing, just thinking about the tragedy that went on. And it's a tough deal, man. This is going to take time. So it's not a one-day deal.
I think in moments, tragedies like this, they can either define you or they can redefine you. And I think this team was able to take an event and allow it to redefine us as a team. We're battling through a lot of emotion. We were battling through a lot of difficulties on the field. You know, there was a lot of injuries too, and guys stepped up and played a heck of a game.
Oh yeah, Brady played huge today. You know, he played smart football, no turnovers, and you know, that's what we've been trying to do all year, and you know, we did it today, and we won.
Oh man, he played phenomenally, man. He was poised in the pocket. The offensive line did their job of holding up, and I got my depth, and he just laid the ball up. My job was to catch it and try to do my best and catch every ball that he threw, and it worked out successfully.
Tough fought game, obviously a lot of adversity to fight through. Carolina played a good game, moved the ball well on us, and we had to stop them there at the end. We had our defense stepped up really well. Proud of those guys, the way they played hard.
Just win in 70 days. How did it feel to finally get another one?
It felt good. I just wish it could have been in a better circumstance than what we're going through right now, but it was a good win.
I'm proud of the guys in that locker room, proud of the coaches, proud of the organization, you know, for having to deal with what we had to deal with and be able to pull through it and show some character. As a organization, as a team, as players, as coaches, I thought that was all very positive.
And I'll say this, you know, we couldn't have done it without the leadership of Rick and Scott. You know, they really stayed strong for us, and that was key.
To have a act go on like this yesterday, it's one of those things that could have been avoided. But as a teammate, you know, We have to do more by not getting in people's business, but I mean just you know, making sure that you know, your teammate's okay. You know, if he says he's having problems, get more details. You know,
I know when it happened, I was sitting in my head thinking, what could I have done different? You know, when you ask someone how they're doing, do you really mean it? When you answer someone back, how are you doing? Are you really telling them the truth? You know, we live in a society of social networks and Twitter pages and Facebook, and that's fine and stuff. But, you know, we have contact with our work associates, our family, our friends. And it seems like half the time we're more preoccupied with our phone and other things going on instead of the actual relationships we have in front of us. And hopefully people can learn from this and try to actually figure out if someone's battling something, you know, deeper on the inside than what they may be revealing on a day-to-day basis.
The basic plan for us is to rely on each other, to rely on our family and friends, and to rely on our faith, because that's what will get us through, all right? Because we know that there are going to be funerals that we're going to have to deal with, you know, and all of those kind of things. And so it's not over yet, you know, and it might not be over for a long time for some of the guys.
Proud of this team, but I'm really proud of Romeo Crennel. I'm never going to forget what he did over the past couple of days here at One Arrowhead Drive and what he had to endure and encounter, of course, along with general manager Scott Pioli, linebackers coach Gary Gibbs. But Romeo Crennel had to be the main focal point here to try to get this team and through the weekend. So proud of him. Now, a horrible tragedy, but it causes everybody to stop and think. I mean, life can get stopped in an instant, but you used it as a teaching point for your family.
Well, I did. I mean, there's not much positive you can get out of this, but for me, I sat down with my boys, with Blaze and Drake, a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and Mitch, what I said to them was, guys, there's nothing ever too bad in this world that you can't figure it out. I get choked up now. There's never a reason to take your life or somebody else's. Come to us. We'll talk about it if there's ever anything. Now, my boys are doing fine. They're 13 and 16. They don't have a care in the world. But when you look at it, you've got to take what positive you can. And I hope, while I'm not telling anybody what to do, maybe that spurs some conversation with you and your family, your friends, your kids. You know, what Brady Quinn said there at the end was very eloquent in terms of, you say, how are you? And you answer, I'm fine, but do you really mean it both times? Are you really listening? It is an age of looking at the phone and checking things out. And relationships are real, and you've got to pay attention to them.
I'll just say this. I'm not trying to sell your book, but if people just want to read how personal this gets for Kendall, you can also get his book. It's in your book, Life's a Snap, where it gets real close to home for you. I'm going to recount this story that I think could be helpful. I had a very, very close friend who called me that talked about was contemplating taking his own life. And when you get that phone call, everything goes to black and white and your life stops. I prayed to know what to do. I called a counselor who is a fabulous counselor, a guy named Warren Trainer. I'm just going to put it out there. He helped this person get through it and basically saved his life. There are some numbers that the Chiefs are using where you can connect to try to help with issues, because Kendall said it so well. There's always hope. There is an answer. But get some help. Here's the Kansas City Metro Domestic Violence Hotline, also the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Look at these numbers. Save it. There is help, and there is hope. But a tragic, tragic situation. And as we all move on from this, it just becomes a teaching point, the message, but it also just kind of gets you down to the baseline of life. All right, now let's get into more into the football game. The Chiefs able to beat the Carolina Panthers 27-21 to get their second win of the year. When I watched the tape, I got excited. I said it last night on the Chiefs Kingdom radio show. I love it when it becomes a habit. And it, in this case, for two games in a row now, was the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs. Set the tone, Kendall. From the first play of the game, first drive of the game, they set the edges, they made plays. What about the O-line?
Mitch, the O-line, you can't not say enough about them. I'm going to start with the center, Ryan Liljaa, our own Shawnee Mission Northwest grad and a proud Wildcat. And I want to use some props here this time. And what this is going to be, you can name him whatever you want. This is our defensive player. Yeah, he shall remain nameless. But imagine that I'm the center and you're the guard. On either side, it doesn't matter, but right now it would be the left side. This guy's right here. Now, you're going to have a linebacker over here, folks, where you're sitting at. And if we're trying to get them to him and we're running, the center, in this case, Ryan Lilja, he's getting to this guy without getting help from the left guard, which allows the left guard to get up, get to the second depth level, and do some good things. And that's huge because now when you can get those linebackers blocked, that makes a difference. Now, let's say that he moves over a little bit and he gets right here. Well, as a center, he's a half man over. I can't get to him. So now we've got a call, and now you're going to come down as a guard. You're going to block here, and me as the center, I'm going to pull around, and I'm going to block also. And now we're going to try to outflank people and get to the edge also. Now, the same thing goes when you talk about the tackle tight end. Say you're a tight end and I'm a tackle. Depending on where this guy is, on whether you have to double team him, whether I can handle him myself right here and you can get up to the linebacker, or if he's right here. We saw several times where Steven Maneri came down, blocked him, and me as a tackle, Donald Stevenson, came around and led on the sweep. It's things like that that they're doing, a physical football game. They set the tone, and now as a defensive lineman, this guy, he doesn't know if somebody's coming straight at him or somebody's coming from this side. He doesn't know what's going on, and that's what you want as an offensive lineman. I'll tell you right now, they're doing some good things.
I love it when you take your head start and your vegetables. Did you just go Mission Impossible on me?
I might have.
That feel like Tom Cruise.
It has been a movie
right there.
Year. There's no doubt about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think you just went Mission Impossible on me. Well, let's take a look at the video and kind of show you how it manifests on the field, what Kendall just told you, and how the Chiefs got this done early in the game. This is a pass play on that initial touchdown drive. First time the Chiefs have had a touchdown on their first drive of the game in 2 years. But this is a nice scheme play where they show the wide receiver screen and then release Baldwin down the field. And Jack, I don't know if we can get it back, but go back to that first play because Jamal Charles picks up the blitz. This is the nice scheme play. This is Brian Daboll's. Let's go back to this one at the beginning. Charles picks up a blitzing linebacker to make this happen.
Well, he does, and the other big thing that he did on that, Mitch, was it was a nice play fake because they started off the game and they pounded the rock. He got 5 yards on the first play. He got 10 yards on the second. Now with the play fake, that makes people bite when you've had 15 yards run on you in the first two plays. But like you said, not only does he know that he has the play fake, he picks up the linebacker coming, and that allows Brady Quinn to deliver the ball.
Okay, replay this one. This is the touchdown, but we're going to see Ryan Lilja. You mentioned him in your example. Lilja might be the proudest guy on this football team. He pancakes this guy right in the middle, and there is nobody that's prouder. Watch him fist pump the fist. Lilja pancakes the guy in the middle to allow DeMarco to make the key block to get Hillis into the end zone.
Well, Mitch, let's not forget the fact that Ryan Lilja, he's only been playing center for 9 or 10 games, whatever it is, with Rodney Hudson going out with an injury. To do what he's doing this year and how he's doing it is phenomenal. I mean, you can't say enough. And you know what? That just shows you when he gets up and he fist pumps how much pride they're taking in what's going on, how much the game means.
And here we go, setting the edge and having that attitude. The offensive line able to get Charles out the gate. And what about Jamal's decision here? You saw the one cut, and he decided to explode after the one cut.
Well, the one thing that we didn't talk about with our nameless friend when we had him up there a minute ago was the fact that the offensive line of Kansas City was getting into the down linemen of Carolina. And now, while they're not getting big pushes, they're running them laterally. And as they run them laterally, it's like you have a slinky and you open it up, and now you have areas and holes to cut. You create space. And what Jamal does is he's being given space to cut and go forward and make big plays, and that's what he does. There was times he's 4, 5, 6 yards down the field before he gets first contact.
Last week we talked about the fourth down decisions. There was a lot of chagrin about not going for it, 4th and 2 at the 4. Here you go for it, 4th and 1. If this play doesn't work, you're going behind. I mean, there's no time left in the at the end of the half.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's a play that everybody has in their playbook where the tight ends cross, and if you're wondering, that was number 79, Donald Stevenson, crossing to the
throw
right
to
side.
Him.
Exactly. So,
let's throw to Donald.
But I'm glad they got it where they were. This play right here, and if we can go back to this, but this is a big play because it looks like just a simple cut in right there in that slant. But what you don't see is the fact that Brady Quinn, this was an influence play to the right, that they were going to run the ball. Brady Quinn's dealing with number 90, the rookie out of Oklahoma. He's coming full bore. Brady knows that he's going to get hit. He steps up, he delivers the ball the only place he can, and Baldwin makes a great catch.
Quinn in this game, 19 out of 23. And Moyaki now, I love it when it becomes a habit. Remember, habit for Suckup making field goals. This was gigantic as he pops through two big field goals in this game, but he got the Chiefs back up by a six-point advantage when he hits a 52-yarder. And then the defense takes over. But things becoming a habit. Moyaki has been a factor. This is the last play, a little desperation play at the end. However, Moyaki now, he has had big plays every game since the Monday Night Football game against Pittsburgh. As we look at the numbers, this is how you win football games. But let's take this, Kendall. Two games in a row now, essentially, zero turnovers for the Chiefs. Now, we know, we mentioned that they were hemorrhaging turnovers in the first, nine games of the season. Nice, 10 games. Now, all of a sudden, back-to-back games, you basically don't have any turnovers. You took one sack in this game and one penalty.
Mitch, you're exactly right. I'm going to tell you the penalty side of things, when you look at that, that's unbelievable. And it just happens to be that it's too much time, not getting the play run. But the big thing, the time of possession is unreal. We talked about it off air. I don't know if I've ever been involved in a game where the time of possession was that gross one side to the other. And again, this goes to the offensive line. Defensive line, everybody, they all played good. But the offensive line allowed the offense to do what they do, which was hold on to the ball, pound it, make some big plays, hold on to the rock, and therefore Cam Newton and that offense for Carolina couldn't get out on the field. They can't score for the most part if they're not out on the field, if you're not turning the ball over, which KC is not.
And here you go again, setting the tone, the offensive line, just kind of getting nasty. Here they set the edge. Patrick DeMarco, also at fullback, I thought made a very profound impact. And here you go, the decisive Jamal Charles. One cut and burst.
Well, you're right, and you go back a couple plays ago, and right near here we see Asamoah pull to the left. Earlier you saw him pull to the right as the Eric Winston was blocking down. So they were doing so many different things. They really changed it up. It didn't allow the defense of Carolina to really know what was going on. They just had so many different facets. They made them defend the whole field. They threw deep left. They threw deep right. They threw over the middle. They got the ball out into the flat. They did some very, very good things.
Here's your Ninja Warrior, folks. The team is 2-10, and this cat is over 1,000 yards. If he stays healthy, he could press a 1,400-yard season. And right now, this team is 2-10. The fifth player in team history to cross the 4,000-yard career rushing mark, and he did it with grief, double grief, because his wife, of course, the cousin of Cassandra Perkins, who was slain on Saturday morning, and, of course, Javon Belcher, his teammate. Big props to Jamal Charles, not only what he's done this season, but what he did over the weekend. Now the challenge comes this week for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now they have to go on the road to play the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about that when we come back and the specific challenges that faces this team. Remember, we love it when it becomes a habit, but can it become a habit now under different circumstances? We'll check into that after these messages.
I pull up to the game and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you gotta love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women. Women 40 years and older are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life. This fall, I'll be out and about around Arrowhead Stadium with the 65 TPT crew to show the world what tailgating is about. Let me know through Twitter or Facebook why our cameras should come to your tailgate. If you're chosen, your tailgate will be featured on KCChiefs.com so the world can party with you. But remember, you have to make room for one more on the menu.
Chiefs tailgating, baby!
So many great things about the fans in Kansas City. I mean, anywhere you travel, anywhere across America, someone approaches you and asks you, do you play for the Kansas City Chiefs? And instantly, the conversation goes, you know, straight to our fans. And they want to know, you know, why our fans are so in tune to the game, why our fans are so excited, and why Arrowhead is always one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. And I always tell them the same thing. I think, you know, Kansas City fans, they have a passion for football. And it shows every Sunday we go on the field, you can see that those people come out to support us. They give it all, just like we lay it all on the line on the football field. They're giving everything for us, especially as a defense, and helping us out.
Welcome back to Chiefs Live. Kansas City now goes on the road to take on the Cleveland Browns. And first and foremost, we got to deal with the fact that the concern here this week, I saw a bunch of the guys yesterday, is the adrenaline wears off right. Sunday night. After the tragedy Saturday, adrenaline and kind of just primal instinct takes you through Sunday. But then all of a sudden, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you start to realize kind of what happened, and what's the challenge there of getting back on this week?
There's so many different challenges, Mitch, when you look at it. First of all, there's going to be a couple services that happen this week, so you've got to deal with that. You might have had one night's sleep that wasn't good this last week. This week, I would think all weeks would be a challenge, or all days, rather, would be a challenge. So you've got that going on, the preparation side of things. You're going on the road, and quite honestly, now you've got every day. You're walking in, and you know what's happened. You know where it's happened, and you can't candy coat it. It is what it is. You've got to deal with it. Everybody will deal with it their own different way with help. Which kudos to the Chiefs and the NFL for everything they're doing. But it's going to be a long road. There's no doubt about it.
Now, flipping it to the football side, you're going on the road against a confident team. Cleveland right. Now has won two games in a row. But I want to ask you about the Chiefs' defensive line. We really didn't touch on it. To me, this is a giant week. Remember, I said I love it when it becomes a habit. The defensive line last week, in the middle, Dontari Poe now, every time I watch the tape, something good is happening every week, basically for a six-week period. But what about Tyson Jackson? Because he's starting to get it done consistently now.
Tyson Jackson is doing some very good things, Mitch. You know, he's getting his body in position to hold leverage. He had a sack this week. A couple weeks ago, he had a sack, but the guy got past the line of scrimmage, so it was just a tackle. But he's doing some really nice things. And you talked about Dontari Poe. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy, and we've talked about the last 3 weeks, but I'm going to keep talking about it, because when a guy, a rookie, a number one pick, improves like he has in these last 3 to 4 weeks, and quite honestly, it's been going on the whole year. It's a culmination of everything together, the coaching and what he's doing. But his leverage, the things he did in the game this week against Carolina, as you see him take down right there. Okay, did he sack him? No, he didn't sack him. But the fact is, Carolina's Cam Newton, he has people getting to him. And when you're a QB and you have people around your legs or taking you down the ground, even if you did get the ball down, well, you know what? That sends a message, and now you get the ball out of there a little bit quicker. You know, later on, you might have saw it there. I wasn't watching, but I mean, there's one time where he just takes three people back. He's like, you know what? I'm coming to the QB. You better get out of my way because I'm coming. He got there. They got the ball off, but I'm going to tell you, he made a difference. It was an incomplete pass. I think that's what made them then punt next after that.
Now, let's take those guys, because I think the biggest challenge in this game on the road is going up against the Cleveland Browns. Don't have a lot of star power other than Trent Richardson, and we'll talk about him in a second. But they do have a good offensive line. Alex Mack in the middle is a first-round draft pick in his fourth year. And they have Joe Thomas at left tackle. Some think the best left tackle in the game. Now you're going to go up against these guys, a confident group playing at home. What about the challenge the D-line has against this O-line of Cleveland?
Well, certainly they do have a big challenge. And what they've got to do is they've got to, as a defensive lineman, get their hands inside on the offensive lineman's chest and be able to press them out, see, find the ball, and shed the blocker and get to it, so things like that don't happen where you take it right up the middle against a very good Pittsburgh defense, quite honestly.
Trent Richardson, the former Alabama star, 273 advances for the Cleveland Browns. The next closest is 37 of guys that have touched the ball. This is about Trent Richardson and Brandon Whedon, but mainly Trent Richardson, the rookie out of Alabama. Look at this, 827 yards under Jamal, but he touches it all the time. He's also got 44 receptions, which becomes a challenge for the second level of the Kansas City defense.
Well, you're right, and I'm glad you alluded to that, because that is a big deal. Covering a back out of the backfield, which is normally a linebacker in some way, shape, or form, that's an issue that the Chiefs have had a bit of an issue with this year, so that's something they have to watch out for. Tight end has been another issue, and with the tight ends, you know, this week Greg Olsen has a catch for 47 yards and a touchdown, but other than that, the tight end position didn't hurt them. But through the season, statistically, the tight end position has hurt the Chiefs, so that's something they'll certainly be preparing for.
Cleveland, 50 catches, and their two tight ends. Benjamin Watson, the former New England Patriot, is their main tight end, so we'll see how that goes. But this is Trent Richardson all day for the Cleveland Browns. Now, let's flip it to the other side. We've been bragging on the offensive line. Well, let's take a look at Brandon Whedon here, and here's Richardson catching a pass out of the backfield. So you're going to have to take care of Richardson, but again, this is a good offensive line for the Cleveland Browns. And this is a young team now. They got a slug of rookies out here. Brandon Whedon, a 45-year-old rookie, just kidding. He's older than most of the guys on the Chiefs roster, even though this is his rookie year. Remember, he was older coming out of Oklahoma State. But this is Whedon's team, man. He's been all over it. They don't have a great group of wide receivers. This is Greg Little in his second year out of North Carolina. But let's transition over to the other side for Kansas City and their offensive line, because we mentioned that the Chiefs O-line now has done it for two consecutive weeks. That attitude, setting the edge, coming out. You mentioned Lil Joe. We mentioned Donald Stevenson, Jeff Allen with a pancake, Winston and Asamoah. On the road, to do it a third consecutive week against the defensive front of Cleveland, what challenges are there for this young offensive line?
Well, you know, the big thing is, as the offensive line goes, the Chiefs are going to go. And they right now, they've got to hold on to the ball. And to do that, they've got to allow the running game to take force like it did this last week, because when you look at Cleveland and you talked about that offense that they have, they're holding on to the ball 32 minutes and 30 seconds. So therefore, they're doing a good job. You've got to counter that. You've got to do things like this. You've got to get guys like Jamal Charles through the line of scrimmage and give them a chance to make big plays. And you know what? It doesn't have to go for 91 yards like it did in New Orleans. It's okay if it does, but it doesn't have to. You've just got to be a threat, and then you've got to complement that with the pass game. And to me, that's what the Chiefs did this week, Mitch, is they had a solid run game complemented by a very efficient game-managed passing game.
Cleveland doesn't have a lot of star power up front, but they got a couple tough guys to block. Ataba Rubin in his fifth year, an Iowa State Cyclone. Frosty Rucker, who's been around the league now for 7 years, a former Cincinnati Bengal. Those guys up front do pose challenges on the road for Kansas City to block them to command the line of scrimmage. But let's just review as we close here. Kansas City, basically no turnovers in two games, minimal penalties. Brady Quinn has not taken sacks, and he's taken care of the football. And the Chiefs haven't fumbled it. If they go into Cleveland, just right there as a baseline, you have a shot to win.
Well, you do, and I look at the other side of the ball in terms of Cleveland and their QB Whedon that you alluded to earlier, 13 TDs, 15 interceptions. So he will give you a chance to get the ball, and so you'd like to see the defense come through. But when it comes down to it, it all hinges back, like we've talked about, on the offensive line. Do they control the game? If they control the game, the Chiefs control the game.
He's Kendall Gammon, 15-year NFL veteran, Pro Bowl long snapper. It has been a rough couple of days. You've handled it very well, my friend. As the Chiefs move on now to Cleveland, continuing to heal and trying to continue some confidence in winning on the road. I'm Mitch Holtis. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Chiefs Live.